Hear the word of the Lord from Romans 5. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 5 first for our standing. Romans 5 and verses 1 through 5. I'll come back to 6 through 11 later. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. The word of the Lord. You can be seated. It's a privilege to be with you again today. I don't expect anyone to remember this, but I've been doing a series called Equipment. And we take each letter of the word equipment. We started with exalting Jesus, and then the qualities of Christ the servant, understanding grace and truth in the youth. We looked at intimacy with God. And now we look at the P of equipment, equip, perseverance. And I think what a perfect time to do it. I was wondering, should I do this for an Advent sermon? But then I thought, of course I should do this for an Advent sermon, because we're waiting on the Lord with perseverance. So we're going to see that this morning. Now, before I get into the message, I want to share a few things of what God has done with us at Envision. We have a ministry, if you're not familiar with, in downtown Bellingham called Envision. And you all have been very supportive of us, and we so appreciate that. I want to share a few things that God has done. We have a house where men are discipled. This is for men a little further along. Some of them have graduated from the New Life program of the Lighthouse Mission. Some of them have had housing, but they're coming up against something in their lives, and they can't seem to get past it. And we want to help them be discipled and move forward as men of God. One of the fellows was really considering coming into the house, but his friend, who was not a Christian, kept saying, "Don't go, don't do that. Come down to Arizona with me. I've got a house. I'll charge you very little rent." And so my friend had two choices. He could go down to Arizona Sun and get a lot less rent and skip this process that kept hanging him up, or he could pay a little more for program fees and believe that God was going to show him something in that process. And he said it almost felt like Jesus was calling him to put down his nets and follow, like a disciple. Yeah, he was a believer already, but this was a turning point, and he chose, much to his friend's chagrin, to enter the program. And I gotta tell you, he still to this day would say to you, this has been life-changing. And he is really growing and receiving tools. Well, his friends saw this and started to ask questions. And eventually has come to know Jesus himself and was baptized this year. Another fellow, I get a call from a boarding home in Bellingham. And they say, a resident here has spiritual questions. So I get the privilege of meeting with him. And as I listened to him, he had been in jail. He ended up in a mental illness boarding home. And he started to express that he'd been reading the Bible. And as I listened to him, the Holy Spirit had already brought him to Christ. Just from him reading the Bible. So I got the privilege of just leading him through that process. And now he's on his way toward baptism. There's been a lot more of those this year than we've had in past years, and we've been really excited about that. The Holy Spirit is working in our county, and you're a part of that. We're partnering together in the gospel. As you give toward us, as you pray for us, we feel that. We know that's being effective And I could tell other stories, but I should leave it at that. Just know that God is working, and as we persevere in Him, He will bless us. And even when we don't, He'll bless us too, but it sure is a privilege when we do. As I was thinking about this topic of perseverance, I was thinking of a friend who came to Christ in 2007 when we had a coffee house. Many of you will remember Three Trees Coffee House. Was there for 6 years. He had he'd been in prison, and when he came out of prison, because we knew him well, my family and I took him in for about 90 days with a lot of rules, and we walked with him. And one of the things that he did is he went down to the skate park in Bellingham, and he noticed all these young fellows who were just like he was when he was their age. Didn't have a stable home, would sometimes come to that skate park just to get away from their home. And he and a friend started to say, let's bring pizza. Because a lot of these guys don't even get three meals a day from their families. Let's bring pizza, let's give them pizza, and let's share the gospel with them. I love new believers because they're always thinking of these fresh things, and the rest of us go, well, you know, I don't know if I can do that. Right? But it's beautiful to see. And Roger, I'll call him, and his friends started to do this. But as the months went on, he was helping me around the house, and we were working on redoing a floor in my house that was rotting. And he was tired, and he noticed that there were some, he and his friends started to disagree a little bit about ministry. He was realizing that it wasn't quite as romantic and exciting as it was at first. In the first week and first month, it was exciting. The kids were listening. Now it was harder. Months had gone by. He was having trouble with his other leader. And we know this is the church, right? This is what we go through. We struggle. We go through things. We're human. It starts to get difficult. And he said to me that day, it was one of the days we were supposed to go out on skate ministry. And I just came and I just watched and I helped them, but I let them do the work. And he said, I don't feel like it today. I don't think I can do it. And I said, Roger, this is when you need to persevere. This is when, you know, you're not getting along real well with your other ministry person, and it's getting tiring. But those kids are counting on you, and you have started to share the gospel with them. This is where your commitment comes in. This is a point of discipleship, right? And he goes, oh, I don't feel like doing this. So he comes, and he stands there on a pole, leaning against a pole, not interacting with any of the kids. But for me, one of the greatest privileges I saw in his life is now he has a house and he has a daughter and lives in Seattle, was seeing those little victories. I'm going to tell you another story. I didn't plan on this, but for me, because he was a violent offender and all his life he'd learned to hit people when he was angry, and he would actually black out. Once when he had a job down the street from us, he got fired because he yelled at his coworker, and he came home and he said, Mitch, I didn't hit him. And I said, praise the Lord, Roger. You're growing. And other people would hear that and say, what are you thinking? But we're thinking these people start to get rid of old habits that for us may be like, wow, that's really destructive. But for them, it's a big deal. And now they continue to grow and they become disciples of Jesus. But he learned in his life to persevere. And as I look at that first verse from Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our last message when I was here was on intimacy with God, being able to receive from Him and rest in His grace. And receive His friendship and His song over us. And this is a perfect segue from that to this message, because here it is. We are declared righteous before God. We are basking in His grace, a grace that we did not deserve. And Paul has gone on to talk about that. And then he says, therefore, we've been justified. Verse 2, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We stand in that grace. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God because the glory of God is there in our lives. And friends, sometimes just getting out of bed in the morning and standing is an act that you need the grace of God to do. When you read this, it sounds sort of highfalutin and religious, but think of it this way. Being able to stand. And some of you that are older are saying, yes, by the grace of God, I can stand. But all of us have days where we have a hard time just getting up. Maybe you don't relate to that. I know sometimes I do. And just being able to stand in the grace of God. And as I watched Roger there that day, all he could do was stand there by that pole. All he could do was stand there. But he was standing by the grace of God. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And then in verse 3 it says something astounding. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance. We learn to rejoice, not just despite our sufferings, but in our sufferings. Commitment in our time is a dying art. We're called to pray for things like patience and faithfulness. Commitment. Showing up on time when it's time to be there. Sticking with it, knowing that it's not a sprint, but a marathon, as Pastor Ken Kuhlman told me when I was in my early ministry. Mitch, this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. But sticking with it with a long-haul determination. Eugene Peterson used the words of Nietzsche, a long obedience in the same direction. And it calls us to ask for the fruit of God's Spirit. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is faithfulness. A faithfulness to the calling that He's given us. And I ask you, what are you going through now? What's your trial? What's your struggle? Where have you become tired? Where have you become tempted to give up? What are you waiting on? Is it in your marriage? Is it in your work, school, and relationships? And we're given a choice to use and stand in the grace of God or not. And if we don't, that grace will still be there. We're still given a choice. To persevere, verse 4. Perseverance produces character. And character hope. When I read this, I thought of my friend Bernie Brower. I call him Bernie the Bedrock. He wouldn't necessarily like that. But he's one who sticks with it. He's been sticking with us in ministry since 2006. And I see in him a character that's been formed as he's asked God for faithfulness. And God has given him that. It's shaped in him a character. That's what happens. As we persevere, we become people of perseverance. We become people of character. Even through difficulty. And in verse 5, it speaks of hope. That this creates in us hope. Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Hope is a kind of assurance. A deep assurance, a kind of deep happiness that all things will be well and all manner of things shall be well, even when they seem wrong, even as we heard those laments. And I'll tell you something, if faithfulness doesn't come naturally to you, if you're not a person who's known by others to be faithful, praise the Lord. Because when you find yourself being faithful, you'll be able to give all the glory to the Lord and not to yourself. You can ask God to produced in you faithfulness. Because he's given of his Holy Spirit a deposit, guaranteeing that which is to come, guaranteeing that which we wait for. And as you persevere, we talk about this at the house with one of the guys. It's like a bird learning to fly. And as it flaps its wings, it begins to soar. That's how perseverance develops a character, and that character develops a hope, a deep joy even in all things. And as Roger stood there by that pole, he began to see the students. He began to smile. He began to get pizza out. He began to laugh with them. He began to minister to them. He learned the secret to push through. And the Lord gave him grace, and he began to soar again. And that is what the Holy Spirit does. One of the things that the church has been dedicated to throughout time is not only fellowship, breaking of bread, which we're all very good at, and the prayers, but also the apostles' teaching. I want you to see, if you would look with me quickly at James. All the apostles testify to this word, perseverance. James 1 and verses 2 through 4. James 1 and verses 2 through 4. The Holy Spirit says through James much the same thing as Paul. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So we can have joy in the midst of difficult circumstances. It even seems that the Holy Spirit encourages us to embrace them, to take joy when they come. Boy, if we could get to that point where something bad happens and we say, praise the Lord, something good is about to take place in me. I know when I'm painting a house and the sprayer breaks down or something goes wrong while I'm painting, I'm tempted not to rejoice. I'm tempted to think opposite things. But I want to learn this. I hope you want to learn it too. There's a word that Jesus probably used when he talks to his disciples. I learned it from a guy named Ray Vanderlaan. It's chutzpah. You have to have a little bit, in your throat there. Chutzpah is this perseverance. It's when this woman reaches out for the hem of Jesus' garments. She's got chutzpah. She's persevering until she meets him. And there's something of that in this word, rejoicing in trial, going forward, even when you feel you're being beaten down. And when I think of that, as I looked at the word in Greek here, eupomeo, I may be saying it wrong, but when I first read it, I thought it said eupomeo. And that's not how you pronounce it, but when I'm studying Greek, sometimes I don't pronounce it quite right because I'm not a Greek scholar. But as soon as I thought about Rocky. I don't know if you've seen the movie Rocky, and I don't know if I should recommend it here. But I will say Rocky is an example of perseverance. Could we put that picture up? If you've seen the first movie, and again, I don't know if I recommend it, but here's the point of the movie. You don't have to see it. I'll tell you. He's this no-name guy who goes up against this famous boxer. And the famous boxer is sort of doing a match with him out of pity for him. Sort of a show of, hey, I'm a good guy. I can let this no-name have a boxing match with me. And then Rocky gets into the ring. And while Apollo thinks he's going to take him out in the first round, Rocky keeps going. Rocky gets beat down. And then it's the second round. And then it's the third round. And you're thinking, Rocky's got to be done now. He's been hit down. But he gets up again. And then it goes to the fourth. And the fifth. And the sixth. And it goes through the rounds. And we're coming into the 15th round. And Rocky is still standing. And everyone is marveling. And often in this Christian life, it feels like we're up against the devil, doesn't it? And we've been hit down, and we've been hit down again, and we don't know if we can take another hit. But there's something beautiful. There's something that Job does that aggravates the enemy of our souls. He perseveres. Hippomail, hit me with it again. He keeps going. And we're called to keep going. And we're called to keep going because it says we will lack nothing. We will be mature, complete. When I hear that, I hear totally satisfied, lacking nothing. And that motivates me to go on. As I hear the word of the Lord, persevere. Let it have its work. Don't fight against the trial. Let it have its work in you and let it produce in you that character that God has in mind. Look at Peter with me. 2 Peter, if you will. 2 Peter 1 and starting at verse 5. 2 Peter 1 and starting at verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness, and godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone does not have them, he's nearsighted and blind. He's forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail. You will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter says much the same thing by the Spirit to the churches. And to us again, the Spirit is speaking. You have faith in Christ. That's how you are saved. That's where he begins. But add to that faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, and this topic we're looking at today, perseverance. Not because it will save you, but because you'll receive a rich welcome into the kingdom. But because, not to save you, but to give you assurance. Making that calling and election sure. You're not saving yourself. You are persevering, and that encourages you and gives you assurance of that salvation and that election. And that is too by grace. We believe with our heart. We have knowledge with our mind. We have self-control with our bodies. We need all of it. People want to separate these, but they're together. We need all of it to persevere. The heart first, and then the actions that follow from true faith. And verse 7 says, that will grow. It'll add. And verse 8, verse 9, increasing measure. And you wonder sometimes, am I ever going to get past this? Am I ever going to get over this? Am I ever going to go on beyond this? Keep persevering in the Holy Spirit. He says you'll never fall, and he gives you a great assurance. We are not those. I don't want to be one of those who gets into heaven by the skin of my teeth, who's saved as if through fire, as it were. I want to respond to grace and finish the race and do it all out. Because that's the stuff that matters. This temporal stuff is going to pass, friends. But as we persevere, as we go on, as we finish the race, we're going to come and we're going to be welcomed by Jesus himself. Can you imagine that? There is rich reward in it. And finally, Revelation 13:10. The Apostle John also uses this word. Revelation 13:10. If anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. This calls for, and this actually is the same word in Greek, patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. Euphemia. And I wonder, as I look at America, if we too won't find a time of persecution like our brothers and sisters in the East and in the South have often gone through. And our brothers and sisters persevered in Iran, in Saudi Arabia, North Korea, and in China. And we're called to the same. Jesus says you can kill the body, but they can't take the soul. This is a call that is a call to persevere in the midst of difficulty. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters, but we also need to remember that we too, our children, their grandchildren, need to learn to face these things. And we need to talk to them about what we've faced and how God brought us through. Let's finish with Romans 5 and verses 6 to 11. You see, at just the right time when you were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we've been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. This is how we persevere. Remember, when you and I were at our worst, when we were his enemies, he loved us. While we were sinning against him, he looked on us and chose to love us. We're loved. We are loved. He has looked on us as perfect in his resurrection life. We are never going to suffer hell because of what he's done for us. We have life abundant forever. And he has made us to persevere, the perseverance of the saints, a kind of invincibility in him. So I want to finish with a challenge. I want you to think about the things that God has called you to. And maybe ask some other people in your life to help you with this. But make a list of the things you're doing right now in your life. I want you to ask yourself, am I doing this out of pressure from other people? Am I doing this to prove something to myself? Or am I doing this because God has called me to this? Look at your life and consider, what is it that you believe God has called you to do? And ask some other believers to help you in discerning that. And then I want to challenge you, something risky, but I want to challenge you to get rid of the things that you're not called to by God. And do the things he has called you to do, come hell or high water. Do the things that God has called you to do, that you believe he has put before you, and do them with commitment and perseverance. You can't go wrong. That's what Peter says. You'll never fall if you do that. And even if you do fall, you have grace that will pick you up again. And will carry you through and give you a crown of righteousness. Just as Roger needed to hear, don't give up. Those places where you're tempted to give up, don't give up. Keep on going in those places where God has called you. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your word. Your word is true. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for calling us to persevere. We can't do it. We can't do it, Lord. We can't pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We can't make it happen. We need your grace for all of it, Lord. Give us grace today. Give us the fruit of faithfulness. Give us the fruit of patience. We almost cringe when we pray it because we don't know what will happen, but we do pray. Trusting you will help us. Give us perseverance. Help us to persevere. Help us to know where you're calling us and where you're calling us not to give up, but to continue on. And I pray for anyone in this room that doesn't know you, that they would come to know you as the real God of the universe. This is not a sales pitch. This is a place where we remember the truth. And I pray for everyone in this room to walk in the truth and continue it. In the name of Jesus.